Episode 1335, My Strength is My Story with Jane Jenkins Herlong, Rhinestones on My Flip-Flops.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a
stop sign, watching. Happy every day. Today is my favorite day of the week. It is my Strength is My Story series, and we have with us an incredible, impeccable woman, Miss Jane Jenkins Herlong. If you ever felt like you're not good enough, you have got to listen to this entire episode. I just wish you were there live. We had so much fun. You're going to laugh. There's humor involved. You are going to love her. For those of you who are brand new to Create You Now, friends and family of Jane's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and to sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. Well, Jane and I had an incredible conversation. It's one that truly changed my life. She is a wow in my life. Now, you're going to have to listen to understand what I mean by wow or what she means by wow. And also, we talk about things from Miss America. Did you know the pageant is coming up? And did you know she was Miss South Carolina? We talk about weddings. We talk about fertility. We talk about life. And we talk about not being good enough. Setting our priorities. Where are your priorities today? Are you wearing rhinestones on your flip-flops? Without further ado, let's get some shine and sparkle in and welcome Jane Jenkins Herlong, Rhinestones on My Flip-Flops.
Wear your rhinestones on your flip-flops.
Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I am so excited. We have a queen house. Oh yes, she wears a brilliant crown, and I know she's going to talk about it. Her name is Jane Jenkins Herlong. Jane is a wife of 38 years to Thomas and mother to their two adult children. With a sense of humor and hard work, Jane traveled from her family farm to the runway of Miss America pageant. She was crowned Miss South Carolina and has also performed at Radio City Music Hall. You know, Jane is a professional singer, a Sirius XM humorist, and a recent inductee into the CPAE Speaker Hall of Fame. You'll find her crisscrossing the country, combining humor, truth, and her beautiful voice, teaching her audiences how to work smart, laugh often, and live their dreams. Jane is an award-winning author of four books, Bare Feet to High Heels, What Tatas Teach Us, oh my goodness, Bury Me with Pearls, and her newest book, Rhinestones on My Flip-Flops. Choose an extravagant joy in the midst of everyday mess-ups. Ready to have your mess-ups sparkle? Bring on the shine, my friend and sister in Christ. Welcome, Miss Jane.
Thank you, Christiane. It's so great to be here.
I just feel like we need to have your crown on your head. I mean, you know, it's in the car. The former Miss South Carolina, you know.
Absolutely.
We've got a beautiful Southern Belle in our midst. Well, I am so excited to have you here. I have to ask you, what brings joy to your heart?
Brings joy to my heart having a good family, having a great husband who is a follower of Christ, a hard worker, honest, keeps me balanced, yay. Having good children and they are good adults. That is the extreme to me for every woman to have in her trophy case instead of that crown, but an invisible crown with raising good children. And that takes a lot of work.
That takes a lot of work.
And patience, time, and prayer. Mm. So that is to me the greatest accomplishment of my life. And that gives me joy.
Well, you were crowned Miss South Carolina. Now, if people don't understand that, that's on the Miss America side of things. And her crown has 4 points on it.
Yes.
What are your 4 points in your life and how you live it best?
Well, I have a speech, and I call it Don't Throw Tomatoes at My Field of Dreams, which is probably going to be the next book. And I actually have 3 prominent points, and I could stretch it to 5 easily. But the first is I'd go in the tomato field, and I think this is a life lesson for everybody. And we would have big tomato fights. My friends would. And I remember being hit with a immature tomato from an immature friend. But I loved him. But I thought, you know what? That hurt. And people are going to throw tomatoes at your field of dreams regardless of your age. Regardless. And I also learned at that point that when I saw what my competition was doing and I was crafting this little tomato business to help my daddy help me, I realized that tomatoes that were my competition had leaves and dirt and stems, and I went the extra mile. And I washed them and polished them, and I realized I was creating a life lesson that I love to share, and it's called the Shine Principle. So what makes you shine? What is it that helps you bounce up in the mornings and go, wow, I can't wait to do this? So my shine is finding out how I can be a version of my best self and sharing it with others. That helps me shine if I could help other people find their shine. The second thing is, and this is the hardest lesson of all, the hardest one, is what to get rid of. Because when you have decay on a tomato and you put it in the bucket, it's going to affect the other tomatoes. And that's in life. We have bad tomato experiences, bad tomato people. And it might be in your own family. And that's very difficult. And I've had to prune and cull. So get rid of the stuff that pulls you down, that makes your dream look like it's not going to happen. Get rid of the no people and go to the next people. Don't live in no, think next. And get God to help you and pray for the wisdom to direct you to the right decision and the wise things. And what to get rid of that holds you back. The last thing I talk about is I saw my daddy many times on the farm. You have to know when to plow up and start over or when to plow through. And plowing through can be difficult. I mean, now I don't have my parents anymore and lost my mom. And, you know, I had to plow through that grief. It's important to experience grief. It's healthy. But those are the three big life lessons to me. Find your shine, know what to get rid of, and that's tough. And then know when to plow up and start over or plow through. It's kind of like the Serenity Prayer, Christiane. Mm-hmm. God, give me the wisdom to know the difference and when to seek out new opportunities or let this one go. And that's just maturity. But I think with prayer and sticking to something, you can find that field of dreams. And that's how I look at it. That's good, isn't it? I mean,
it is good. It's more than good. It's like, okay, so where did your, though, field of dreams come from? Because if these are your points in your life, how did and where did it all start for you?
I guess when I was a child in the low country of South Carolina on the farm, I would just dream. I would walk through the fields and I'd love to play in the corn and pull the ears and make doll babies or build houses out of daddy's tomato crates or walk through the soybean field or skate on the little beans that daddy had left over from the grain elevator. And that's just when my imagination started to grow. And my daddy was hardworking and honest, and I've hopefully embraced those qualities I learned. And my mom was funny. So with humor and hard work and honesty and all wrapped up, that's what I write in my books, and that's what I share from the platform. So that's when it really started. And I was a tomboy, and I was teased, and that's kind of a signature story, what we say in the world of speaking. But I learned that you don't let people define you. You say, you know what? I'm going to live my dreams, and I'm not going to let that negative get into my heart. And the Bible does say, focus on the good, the positive, and pure, what's above and not beneath. And without vision, the people perish, and a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I quote all of that in my presentations, although I do speak to churches, but I speak to a lot of secular organizations. And that's just common sense principles right there. Whether you're a Bible person or not, you embrace a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a crushed spirit dries the bones. And that's a whole nother life lesson. If you pull yourself down and allow other people to define you, then you are not going to see the good, the positive, and the pure. So you have to push past that and don't let people define you. That's one person's opinion. And I've been beaten down. I mean, I was laughed at in the first grade, told I was an ugly duckling. Heck, I went to Miss America. You know, that was great. I was told that I wasn't funny, and I sent my stuff on to SiriusXM, and they've been playing it for 6 years. And it's a nice check every month to pay for my car. And I also give back to philanthropic things that I am involved with. That's a real joy to me, is to give back. what you've been blessed with. And then, so I just kept defying the odds. I got an F in writing in college. You will not be a writer. And I got to hand my first book to my professor that gave me the F. So you just don't let other people tell you what your limits are and who you are. Push past that. Push past it. Climb. Keep climbing. Keep going. Keep moving in this direction. Your rearview mirror is small for a reason. Don't focus on that. Look this way. And realize that sometimes God allows you to go through things. And it's a pruning process. Not go over the mountain, around or under, but straight through. And there's a mission and a purpose for His glory. And you just got to find it. Mm-hmm. That was a long answer.
It was a beautiful answer. And one that I think as women especially, we deal with a lot of mountains and valleys because we don't just carry our own life. You know, we're carrying the life of those that we love most. We're nurturers. So we carry our husband on our shoulder and they weigh a ton. And we carry our children on our shoulders and they continue to add and add. And when they get bigger, I think they just get heavier, not because of true weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, but the weight that it gives within our heart. It weighs us down because we want them to be so much more than what we had. For the woman who's climbing that mountain, but maybe she's gone up a little bit, but now she's kind of stuck in this little valley, what would you tell her on how to continue to plow through and not give up?
Seek out good, encouraging people. Women do not need a million friends. To me, they only need six, three on each side of your casket. That's the way I look at it. And that does not mean to sound morbid, but when you boil it down, you only need about six really good people. And not the ones that have the mindset of, oh, I'm so happy for you as long as I have the same thing you have. But once women keep climbing, you're going to find out who your real friends are. And you know what? Thank God for that. Because when Thomas and I went through a really hard time with my family, a problem that we had, and I was pretty much rejected from my own family. That was very difficult. That's in my third book, Bury Me With My Pearls. And Thomas said, you know what? He looked at it like this. He said, God did us a favor. He showed us people's hearts. So ask the Lord to reveal hearts so you'll know who to listen to and who not to listen to. That culling process is tough, but I promise you, you'll be better and not bitter, because the difference in those two words, which I love this analogy, is the E and the I. If you are bitter, you look at bitter people, Christiane. Christy people are all about that I, which is me, 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 I. The E is better. I will be better, not bitter. I see a lot of women walking around, they let themselves go, their weight's awful, they're stressed. They're getting diseases. I believe there's stuff swirling around in our bodies and stress just bam. It makes it metastasize. And all of a sudden, I've got a good friend, perfectly healthy, woke up, couldn't hear. Just deaf. Wow. And she told me that there was a virus in her body. This is what the doctor said. And when your immune system is compromised from stress, and women have to fight stress all the time, then things happen, come out of the blue and hit you like a ton of bricks. Stress is a killer. I'm telling you, it can take you down. It can create a cycle of depression. So for those women who are seeking the next level, keep climbing and get rid of that baggage. The more harder it is to climb, get rid of it. And only take good people with you. I have a friend that has a whole speech, and I always loved his tagline. He said, climb the ladder of success and take good people with you. And you'll elevate yourself to a new level. And you'll look down, not on those people, but you'll be so thankful that you have mastered the cull principle and what to get rid of and what to embrace. That's huge as we age.
Yes. Yeah. And that's called wisdom.
Completely.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah. We do get wrapped up, I think, especially those who are kind of, I don't want to say middle-aged, but middle-aged as in you're kind of embarking on that 35-ish or wherever you are from, you're done having babies, and then you're getting to where you're like, oh, wow, I actually may have a life beyond the children. And you begin to realize that there's more out there to life. And when you do continue climbing that mountain, and maybe you settle into a valley once in a while. Like you said, when you look down, you can lift them up, and it's not looking right down on them. What beauty.
Right, right. You always have to have, you don't want to, when you get past those people that, it's like crabs in a bucket, if you've ever been crabbing. I mean, when one crab starts to get out, another crab will pull it back down in the bucket. And it's very hard for a crab to get out of a bucket. When you think about people, some people just want you to stay down. And I have friends like that, and they have 1 year of experience 20 times, and they don't have the courage. This is why in the book I talk about fearless and fabulous Esther, who was so brave. Women, there will come a time when all of us have to stand up, step up, speak out, and say, this is wrong, and I am, the dysfunction stops here if it's in your family, which I had to do. But it made me stronger. It stops here. I'm sorry. I forgive you, but this is my side of it, and that's yours. You need to stay on your side. That was the hardest thing for me as a Christian. Like, oh, Jesus will heal. No. Many times you have to let him heal your heart, but there's nothing you can do with the next person's heart. Don't let them invade your space. That's why I talk about Naomi. I call her whiny Naomi because she was, oh, blah, 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 blah. I am so, look, I lost these people. And I'm not trying to disrespect the grief that she experienced and the downtime she had, but how God lifted her back up with Boaz and Ruth, and how he restored much to her life, and how she trusted him in the midst of her sorrow. Call me Mara, call me bitter. You know, I mean, don't stay down in that pit. You got to get out of that pit. Do something unusual. Go somewhere. Get your nails done. Go on a trip. Go to a spa. Climb something. Like, what did I do the other day? And I was so proud of myself for doing it. I can't remember. It was something I just never do. And I said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to challenge myself, and I'm just going to move past what I normally do and see this little other person inside of me grow a little bit and get some courage going. I was floored at what I did, but I can't remember what it was. But anyway, I'm just looking for the next challenge. That's how I look at things.
And that is a good point. Looking for the next challenge, because I think a lot of us fear that what's going to be on the other side. Like, we turn the corner, we get past this, but oh my gosh, I know there's going to be another roadblock, and I get through one thing and then I end up doing another. And as moms, we're carrying that baggage. How many plastic bags of CRAP can you carry on your arm? And I think that's how we end up feeling. Yet we go when we purchase it. We have to take our heart and understand that we are welcoming those into our lives. And for some of them, we can't welcome them.
Exactly. And in the going back to the pearls book, I talk about small decisions, which are your seed pearls. And they can be some of the most important things, the little things, like disciplining your children and being, letting them know that there are boundaries and borders in parenting and in being your child. You cannot cross. You got to be completely consistent with that. Those are the small things, like, you can't have that, and I'm going to have to put you in time out, or go to your room, or no, we're not going to get ice cream. Those little seed pearls. Then you have the irregular things, the funny things. I mean, learn to laugh. Learn to have fun. Then we have the dark pearls. You know what? Every single woman should have a dark pearl on her strand, and she should be proud. As long as you wear it proudly, and it doesn't wear you. And there's a big difference. You don't want someone to say, oh, there goes Christiane, comma. She's the girl that, oh my God, it's so sad. What, you know, you don't want that tagline. You want, comma, wow, she does a great job. Look at her kids. What a neat person. What a great friend. You want that comma after that to be positive about you. And so the dark pearl means, you know what? Been there, done that, made it. Yay, I'm wearing this dark pearl. I'm proud of this pearl, because I persevered. So symbolically, you're stringing a strand, and you get to unhook it and pass it on. It might be to a child. It might be to a friend. It might be to a stranger. Wear these pearls too, symbolically. You know, bury me with my good stuff, but I get to hand it off to the next generation. We should all be, now I'm going back to rhinestones on my flip-flops. We should all embrace wow in our lives, which is women of wisdom. My friends that are my wow buds, they are older, I love to sit at their feet and listen and learn. It's the greatest library ever. When they would say to me, Jane, just move forward, honey. You've got a great family. You've done a good job. Don't let this stuff pull you down. Just move this way. And I would listen to them because they persevered. They've reached the age where I am just soaking in everything they tell me. And I have lots of older friends, and I love it when they call me into correction. Let me tell you something. That is not right. You need to stop doing that. And they'll tell me, too. That's why I have them around. It's like taking a bud shopping. I have another friend. I love her to death. She'll say, that looks fabulous. Get it. And my other friend goes, get rid of that. Oh, my gosh. Now, that's the one I want to take shopping with me. Mm-hmm. That's the wow. Women of wisdom. And we need to be a wow, too. We need to be wow for other women in our lives. So be a wow.
Amen. And you write in your book about some wow women. You write about deceived Eve, fearless, fabulous Esther, whiny Naomi, which you already mentioned, and domestic diva Martha. Now, I like this one. It was great. Your first line was, Martha was a she. And I stopped and I was like, okay, what did you mean by that?
Well, I wrote a song called I Am a She, a Southern Home Executive. So I love that little song. I have to send that to you. It's pretty funny. Martha was the kind of person that was going to overdo for the big guest arriving. And that's me. Oh, my gosh. My daughter's wedding. I remember my wedding planner just going, hey, it's Kathy. And I knew I could see dollar signs. Okay, so what do you think of having paper napkins and toilet paper with their initials on? And I'm going, yes. And we'll do it in a really cool metallic. I went, oh, my gosh, yes, in the portalettes. Let's do this. Can you believe this? This is how caught up I was, having to make everything perfect. And my friend having lunch with me said, I'm done with you. 2 months, don't call me. You have lost your mind having metallic initial toilet paper. Really? And I said, okay, Kathy, I'm sorry. I just don't think I can do that. That's a little much. She said, okay. So my friend went to the bathroom. I called her back. I said, I'll take it, and hung up. So, you know, it was so important for me to have all the bells and whistles. And then we had this horrible cloud come up, and it was an outdoor event during the wedding. And I was like so fixated on that cloud. It was pathetic. I was looking at my phone like I was looking at something gross. I just kept going, oh, my gosh, look at that cloud. And I got in the church, and the minister opened his mouth. I went, what is wrong with me? This is what it's all about. This beautiful ceremony of joining together two young people who love each other. And the sermon, I put it in the book, was amazing, about hands. And everything just left me. That, see, domestic diva Martha was me. Because I get so caught up in the details that I was missing the main thing. I didn't put that story in the book, but that's really what happened. And that's what happens to women that overdo. And we major in the minors and we miss it. Just like Martha just majored in the minors, because someone had to do the housework. Someone had to do the cooking for Jesus to come. But, I mean, she got so frustrated, she said, yell at my sister. Yell at Mary. And Jesus said, no, she's the one that's chosen wisely. Because I'm sharing my heart, and you're missing it, basically. So that's what I gleaned out of that story. So, oh, my gosh. I get so caught up in stuff, I miss the event.
We miss events, I think, all the time. And we miss those events that are the little things. It's God winks in our lives. I can be driving my children to school, and I can be upset because a driver cut me off in the drop-off line. And I'm thinking, why am I doing that? Now I've just shut out what might be a blessing because I'm upset at this person, which really, it doesn't have any bearing on life in general.
So true. So true. And I'm the same way. I remember I wrote a story in my newsletter last week, and it was about what parents need to know about school, the things. And my husband would go dressed up in his nice business suit, let the children out, have prayer, be followers of God, not of man. And I would pull up with sunglasses on, my pajamas, a raincoat wrapped around me, horrible hair with a hat on, and I would yell, run! Because, of course, we were late. You know, so they love to tell me about how, Mama, it was awful when you would drive us to school, which was about every day, because I would, not get them there early. I was stressed out. And it's funny now, but I'm sure I missed many beautiful mornings driving my children to school because I was too busy being mad at myself and being stressed out because I didn't get them there. And then they got in trouble for being late. So, you know, it was at times. But we can get so caught up in those little things and just miss the blessing. I believe God's going to show us the videotape when we get there. See that? You missed it. You missed it. Look at this. You missed that. You almost missed that. So I believe we're going to be shown our life and all gifts he gave us that we refused to open because we got ourselves in a mess.
Yeah, imagine that blooper reel.
Yeah, that'll be a good one.
Talk about humor and laughing. We may have to have a few extra popcorn kernels and enjoying it a little bit too much, or some tomatoes, either way, so we can throw it at the screen.
That's right.
Oh, well, as we're talking about Martha, I really believe we as women and men, we get our priorities totally messed up. How can we stop flip-flopping and focus more on sparkling and shining?
Well, that's why in the book I put down the flip-flop and the sparkle and shine and what we can learn. Because you look at deceived Eve, well, she just flat messed up. There was no sparkle and shine, bless her heart. She had to accept her bad decision. And you know what? Somebody told me this, Christiane. It was an aha moment for me in my book. Because they said, this is a book for every woman's aging in her life. Because I've had deceived Eves in my life, too. My friends that all of a sudden think, oh, I don't have it all. And they go outside of the home and they try to get fulfillment. They end up being caught up with after hours and thinking that they're missing out, and then they lose some of the most beautiful times of marriage and their moments because they started chasing something they really already had, and they didn't realize it until they were outside of their paradise, what they lost. But God was still faithful to Eve, and Adam clothed them, gave them clothing, animal skins. So he was still there for them, but boy, did Eve make a bad choice. Women do that. They have to accept their consequences. So then when you look at Esther, like I mentioned, she had to be fearless and fabulous. And then I highlighted salty Mrs. Lot. She was so wanting the old life. I've had friends that lose their spouses, and they're still clinging to the past. And the Lord's trying to redirect them and said, let me show you a new life. And my good friend Mary had this happen. She lost her husband in a plane crash. And she is a very strong Christian. But boy, was she bitter about her new life. She did not want to move into the new life. And very strong in her faith, too. But God all of a sudden opened the floodgates when she finally trusted him. And he sent the most wonderful guy in her life named Harry. And they've had a phenomenal marriage. It's been about 15 years. But they travel and gosh, they just got off a big European cruise and now they're at the U.S. Open. I mean, you know, they have a large life. I'm so happy. But she had to embrace and let go of what she thought and embrace the unknown where the Lord was leading her every step. And that was a real lesson to me because we get really stuck in what makes us feel comfortable. So women have to trust that the Lord has their backs. I mean, even little things. Like, I remember I lost my mother. And it was the year anniversary. And I said, Lord, please help me grieve this first anniversary. What happened? The Lord got a friend of mine from a friend of mine to call me and say, hey, Jane, would you like to judge the Miss Mississippi pageant who goes to Miss America? So, Christiane, I was sitting in judge's interview at 11 o'clock on July the 7th. And I looked at my clock. I knew that was the exact hour a year ago that my mother passed away, but God just lifted me up and put me in another spot, and just it was like I had a blanket wrapped around me, and he just honored that loss of life after a year anniversary and just helped me grieve through that first anniversary. So I tell you, if you ask, that's the thing, people just don't ask. God will show you a better way and he will provide. I promise that's very true.
Y'all are going to want to pick up your own copy of Rhinestones on My Flip-Flops, Choosing Extravagant Joy in the Midst of Everyday Mess-Ups. And boy, do we have a lot of mess-ups. One thing, though, we mentioned earlier is that you were crowned Miss South Carolina. What did you learn from that whole pageant experience? You know, some women would say, oh, she's a beauty queen. You know, it can go both ways. I actually was one who competed on the America, Miss America pageant side. And so
I did, yes.
And so I know a little bit about the process, and a lot of people don't know some of it. So for you, though, what was it that really gave you something more than just that title of Miss South Carolina or I'm a beauty queen now?
Well, it started out, to go back to the beginning, Miss America was everything I knew I could become, but was not. It was a standard of excellence, communication skills, weight and fitness, lifestyle, gown, your branding, talent, how to present your talent. It was the most incredible experience that I've really built a career on, and not in a weird, oh, beauty queen way. You know, I have a speech that I actually did last year, the first time. I had some women friends of mine go, ew, no, just like you said. And I call it Own Your Runway, Secrets, Business Secrets from a Recovering Beauty Queen. And they said, Jane, that is so lame and that's so passe. But what Miss America, their fault has been not connecting the dots on what it can do for women. So my principles that I took into the speech that I did in Las Vegas for a lingerie company for women who have had breast augmentation, and it's a great company. So I presented it to the meeting planner. She was all over it. And here are the five principles. I learned how to communicate. I learned how to look at people in the eyes and say exactly articulated what needed to be said. I have had young women who never, ever won a state, or a local title, say they've been in an interview and the interviewee has stopped, interviewer stopped and said, wait, where did you learn how to do this? You are an incredible interview. You've got the job. So you've got communication skills, which are huge. The second thing is, as I mentioned, lifestyle and fitness, something Miss America's gotten rid of this Sunday night. Sad. Because we have to take care of our bodies. It affects our minds. We pack sugar in and junk food, and we're not going to be processing things properly. We're going to have a sugar rush. We're going to get down and have moments where we're not thinking clearly, not making good choices. We have to take care of ourselves. Even walking 20 to 30 minutes a day is so good for your mind, and your body has great benefits. So that's lifestyle and fitness. We would call that swimsuit. But that's a huge part of being healthy. The next thing is, what's your talent? What do you do unusually? I spoke for a group recently. They honored a retiring woman. Her gift was making the best chocolate chip cookies. That was a talent that she had. She loved to bring them to work and give these little twist bags for everybody, and they loved them. That was a talent. That is not to be disregarded. She was branded with, wow, what a sweet philanthropic woman who always knew when to give us a bag of cookies. And that's really neat. So that would, I would say, was her gift or her talent. Then you've got your branding, your style, what people say about you, the comma that I mentioned, like how do you carry yourself? What colors look good? I'm sitting up, good posture, confidence in your walk. So many times when I judge the Miss pageants, whether it be USA or Miss America, I love to watch their non-communication skills or non-verbal skills, because so many people will not get the chance to talk to Miss South Carolina or Miss Columbia or Miss Honolulu or Miss, you know, they won't get a chance to, but they'll be able to watch them communicate and watch their body language. So that non-verbal is huge. So I like to watch that. To me, that's a branding statement of style, of connecting, of communicating. So I think those principles that I learned at Miss America have been able to help me build a career in speaking. Wearing a swimsuit gave me courage. I never thought of it as a meat show. I thought of it, whoa, I wore a swimsuit in front of all these people. Yay me. I had to wear it underneath my clothes, Christine, because I hated it so much. My graduate school professor said, wear it under your clothes. Make friends with that swimsuit. So I've been in Spanx. There's no question I've been in Spanx. So that's what I learned. And I've been able to take that, like when I go to speaker meetings, they'll say, here's how you need to work the stage. I think, honey, I got that. I know how to walk a stage. I know how to work a stage. You know, oh, this is how you need to have your posture. When you communicate, I'm going, hello, honey, I got that down. I had a good coach. You know, in the South, it's a big deal.
Oh,
I mean, my coach was a funeral home director. And he taught me about interview skills. He taught me about walking. I'd walk with a leotard and tights on and caskets urns and Jesus called telephone wreaths. I was on it. I knew how to work those turns and drop backs and half turns and posture and eye contact. I learned it all. It was a great life skill builder for later. I can tell you that.
Well, how do you feel? Because, you know, this is real life here. And I think for women, we want to put on a crown every day.
We should.
And the runway, though, that we walk, we don't always feel like we're wearing that crown, whether we're being held back by weight, by children, by excuses, by career, whatever it is, our runways always look different. For you, looking now at Miss America and how things are changing, what is your take on the runway that they're trying to walk now?
Well, I think the problem is when swimsuit was eliminated, everybody was kind of like, oh, wow. You know, I don't like the real skimpy stuff. I can tell you that right now. And, you know, if you want to be in USA or Universe, that's where the body really counts. And it is coined the most beautiful woman in the universe or the world. Miss America is the girl next door. She's the girl that everybody likes. So she's the young lady who in 2 hours on a Saturday night, now Sunday night, becomes America's sweetheart. That's how it started. That's what attracted me, the girl next door. But the runway has changed in the Miss America pageant. And I believe what people felt like they were deceived over was the board. And I have a friend that was on the board. He resigned because he didn't like this. They were told that ABC would not air the pageant if there was swimsuit because of Me Too movement. So they nixed the swimsuit. Then they found out that wasn't true at all. And I believe a lot of this agenda, sadly, is due to one person, Gretchen Carlson. She wrote the book, Be Fierce. She's very, very focused on making women be able to not have this workplace environment where they're denigrated, where they are, you know, treated like a piece of meat. And I watched the PBS special on her life last night, and I respect and don't fully understand all that she fought, but I've been through junk like that. I've had guys say things, you know, you have too. You're a beautiful woman. You've had it too. And I remember some of the times that a guy would say something, but see, this is where I handled it with a sense of humor. I'd say, oh, hush, go on now. And if they kept on or something, I deflected it with humor. And she told a story, and it was, I mean, I'm thinking, why not make fun of that? You know, why not just, and not that that is the answer. And I know people in the limelight, as Gretchen has been and so many other people, get it lots worse than I have. But, and so I respect that. And I can't comment on how it feels to have Roger Ailes, you know, making advances. I can't comment on that because I don't know. So, but I do think that, as I was told a year ago, because we both are published by the same publisher, that she has a massive agenda. And I think that is what made people angry. There was not full disclosure of what was going on. And so many changes. And she's very passionate about that. Well, Miss America to me is not about Me Too. It's not. That is not what it's about. It's being made. That's what it's about. Because Gretchen Carlson wants it to be connected to Me Too. So this is the problem. And I think a lot of people that volunteer and give up weeks of vacation time to work with the pageant have felt like they've been deceived. And there have been 33 states saying, we want you out. But the board all is affirming these changes. And so what do? I guess maybe it'll be a tremendous success Sunday night. And it might not be. I just wrote an article about it. And I said that runway might be a plank Sunday night. It might be it. It might be the, you know, the end of Miss America as we know it. And I do believe in changes. And I do believe, but to me, the biggest problem, as I mentioned, they haven't connected the dots with what this program does and they should be highlighting volunteers. I've got volunteer friends that say, it's been a game changer for me. I have loved it. And highlight the girl that didn't win the local. You know, is she the CEO of some fabulous organization? Let us see that. Let us see what it did to help her with her communication, with her fitness, with her branding, with her talent. I want to see that. You know, I don't care much about the winners. They're there. They made it. Okay, good for them. But see, Miss America went from like 40,000 people when I was in it trying to be one of 50 to 4,000. See, it's really gone down. And I don't think they've let the general public know what it can do for a woman to be the best person she can be, her best self. I just think it's sad what's happened.
Yeah, it is sad. And I have to agree with you that I know when I was in it, I did have to wear the swimsuit. Now, we didn't have to wear a two-piece. We got to wear the one-piece. So thank goodness for that. Because even then, I think I share the thigh issue just like you had.
Yes.
We don't want to talk about the thighs and we don't have to show them. You know, you went somewhere and got a procedure done. I would do the Saran wrap and you know, all the little crazy things that, you know, I mean, seriously. And people, I know women are probably like, really? You guys actually do that? But in your book, you write and you talk about Queen Esther. And someone gave you the most beautiful compliment and equated you to Queen Esther. As you got to know her story, she taught you six lessons, and you say this in your book. Which one stands out to you most? So the six lessons were, lesson number one, God has a plan for our lives, and then we are given divine moments to alter circumstances. Lesson three, we must stand with courage, which we've talked about. Fasting and prayer bring clarity and hope for deliverance. Number five, God demands obedience. And number six, God uses everything and everybody for his divine purpose.
I think three, definitely, courage. And that's what wearing a swimsuit did for me. It gave me courage. I don't know if I hadn't mastered that, if we would be talking right now. If I had the courage to send that comedy CD to Sirius, to write that first book. The whole time, and psychologically speaking, your brain links back to something. I remember, I don't know if it was in the Rhinestone book or the Pearl book, but I talk about being in the wings of the Miss America, I think it's the Pearl book. And when I was in college, I did the impossible. I asked Miss Ludi Godbold, who was my tennis teacher, to hit with me. And she won the Olympics back in the 20s, and it was called something else, not the Olympics. But Miss Ludi won it for shot put. I mean, she was like so tall and so funny and just an icon at my college, Columbia College. And I looked at one of the girls. I said, how do you get a B in here? Because she gave everybody C's. They said, hit with her. And I said, Miss Ludi. And I had to turn around. Who's that? I had my name on a piece of paper. And it was taped to my back because she couldn't see anymore. And I said, Jenkins, because that was my, all right. And everybody was going, oh, my God, you're going to hit with Miss Ludi. So, honey, I thought, I hope I don't hurt her. Really. She was in her 90s. And that ball went up. I went, I'm dead. I am dead. And she slammed that thing like you wouldn't believe. And it just zipped by me. And I couldn't return her serve. But she gave me a B for trying.
Yes.
So, I was in the wings of Miss America. Burt Park said, Miss South Carolina. And I went, wait a minute. I hit with Miss Ludi. I hit that stage. All of a sudden, I'm writing my first book, and I'm going, golly, can I do this? And it hit me. All right, you got an F in writing. All right, prove that guy wrong. Write this book. And so I did. So I think it's courage to me when you master or try something. And an Olympic athlete I heard one time make this comment. He'd been in the Olympics like four times, never won a medal. And they said, I'm just so sorry you never won. He said, don't feel sorry for me. You feel sorry for the people that didn't step their foot into the arena to try to win a medal. That's huge, because what's behind that, what you don't see, is much more powerful than a crown on your head or a medal around your neck. It's what got you to do it and to try to do it just to see. Because some people, sadly, Christiane, they stop right before these dreams happen. So courage. Esther had courage, and she had her cousin to say, hey, listen, you are a huge part of this. Your people depend on you. You do it right. We all need that kind of person in our lives that calls us to the carpet saying, hey, you got to do this thing right now. We all should have a good friend like this that challenge us. So definitely, I've had to have courage when I didn't feel like it. And, you know, and Joyce Meyer, I love her, said, you know what? Do it afraid. I love that. Do it afraid, not in fear, because fear can be gripping and paralyze you. Do it afraid. We should be. Everything we do it afraid. But realize behind you, you've got the Lord that's pushing you. I've got your back. I've got your back. Let's do this. So that's how I look at it. Courage.
Amen. Well, I know y'all are going to want to sparkle and shine, so you want to pick up your own copy of Rhinestones on My Flip-Flops, Choosing Extravagant Joy in the Midst of Everyday Mess-Ups. Well, I think some of our everyday mess-ups comes from time. The excuse of, or really I should say the answer to, how are you is, I'm so busy. And then we followed up with, well, don't you have time for this? Oh, no, I'm just so busy. I don't have time. Time is consistent every day. It doesn't change. Sometimes we feel like it is moving faster. I think as we get older and the wisdom sets in, I think it's more like 22 hours in a 24-day that we really have. At least that's what it feels like to me. You write about Sarah and Hagar and Abraham. How can we learn to trust God's timing?
That was tough for me because in the book, I was told I would not have children, and that was a very deep desire of my heart. So, of course, I go to the fertility doctor, and I'm taking all the drugs, and I wouldn't take the Pergonol, and they said, do the Pergonol injections, and I'd go and check out at the grocery store and see, woman gives birth to 10 children. I'm going, oh, I just am not into having a litter. I can, you know, I just can't do that. So I refused the Pergonol, but the thing is that I felt like I was so pushing ahead of God's timing. At times, I got too involved with the fertility treatment, and I'm too involved with trying to make it happen on my own. And I would pray, but many times I'd move God off the throne, and I would be sitting right there in his spot. And I could tell I would get stressed out. And that's the key. When you're just stressing out like that, you're saying, wait a minute, I'm not trusting God. I'm trusting man. I'm trusting my fertility specialist, or I'm trusting these pills, and I'm not letting go. And I'm the Bible says, whatever you bind on earth, you bind in heaven. And we got to break through that barrier and say, all right, I'm going to loose this, and I'm going to trust that God has my back, and he knows how to handle this, and he can give me wisdom, and he can tell me what to let go of and what to embrace, who to trust and who not to trust. Maybe I should get off of this medication. And so I remember driving down the road, Highway 17, and I just rolled down the window, and I threw out the drug I was taking. I just threw it out. I said, I'm not taking it anymore. I was pregnant right then. I didn't even know it. But I just trusted God. And maybe at that moment, he let the conception happen. I don't know. But I was taking, I can't remember the drug I was taking, but it was a hormone, of course, and I thought, I'm just not doing this anymore. And I'd been going through this treatment. I tell people, I know what it's like to wait 7.5 years to get pregnant with the first child and 7.5 minutes to get pregnant with the second child. But yeah, I mean, Sarah just moved ahead of God's plan. That's where Ishmael came from. And what a problem that became, and the jealousy, and God sending, I can never pronounce her name, out into the wilderness.
Right.
But God still protected them. He still covered them. But Sarah just had to trust God's timing and look at the odds that maybe she would never be a mom, that she was her name is Mother of Many Nations. So that's the way it all worked in her life. And we should learn lessons from trust and timing. But if we feel stress, seriously, Christine, we are not trusting God's timing. We are just not doing that.
Yeah, and it's a kind of a cold wake-up call, because I think when we are pushing through, I know from personal experience, when you just try to keep going against what God wants, man, that's when Satan, he just shows up and he says, ha-ha, talking about masticizing things in your body that you don't want to happen, you get sick more often. You're crabbier. You're short-tempered. You know, your tone of life, living in general, just switches to nothing but negative. And I think really as women, as we get more involved in our digital age that everything can come to us without us having to go to it, we need to really wake up and realize that God needs to be part of our lives and He needs to be the number one so He can sit there and say, hey, you know what? I can get into this digital world where you are. Don't forget me.
Completely. And I think the enemy's greatest tool is deception and distraction. We have to have time where, and it doesn't have to be this huge time of sitting down or getting on our knees and praying for this long period of time. And in the way that my life works, I've got my radio and I'll just pair it to a podcast from some minister that I really love. I keep talking about Joyce Meyer because she's really ministered to me. But I love to listen to those wonderful teachings. I love Andy Stanley. He's got incredible wisdom, and his dad, Charles Stanley. I mean, just listen to something like this, and I promise you it'll lift your spirits and give you some guidance, because we do need to put on the armor. We need to have the breastplate and the sword and the shield, and we need to have our armor because the darts are coming. And what frustrates me as a Christian, I'll wait till something starts to fall apart and realize that I've slipped away from that quiet time where I would have the weapons to fight the doubt and the fear. Oh my gosh. And like Zig Ziglar says, fear is simply false evidence appearing real. And 90% of our fears are totally unfounded. But we make it so big, like, oh, my child's in college now. Oh, my child started first grade. Oh, my gosh, here come the teachers. Not just one, but a pack of them. I had that all the time. And I got used to that. And I would do the cross, and I'm not even Catholic. And I'd think, oh, my gosh, you know. But so we can have our fears and our doubts, especially when we go to bed. Oh, my gosh. Your brain can start churning and churning, and just there you go. You've lost a night's sleep, and you're tired, and you're not your best self. And, oh, yeah, you didn't give the enemy a black eye. But if you just quote scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then you wake up in the morning. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And there are times, Christiane, I would just lie in the yard, and I would see the clouds go by, and I think, God, I'm so insignificant to this big world, but you've got me. You've got my back. You're going to help me. And when you just sit there and look at the sky and watch the clouds, many times it just puts it in perspective. And then the sparrow flies by and you go, oh, if you're taking care of that little bird, surely you're taking care of me. So that gives you hope and encouragement to go to the next level and to break through, just to break through and let God come through when you break through so He can help you become a better version of you to handle the stress. And stress can be debilitating. It really can be.
Yeah, and we need to find a way to extinguish that stress faster than living with it and coping with it.
Well, it just creates disease. Mm-hmm. It's disease. And why do we want that? You know, we want to live in a world where around positive people who have positive things, the way they see things. And my friends will say to me, how did you see that? And I'll tell them a funny story. You'll say, oh, okay. So this is how I saw that, or this is how I took care of that, or, you know, or I just laughed my way through it. My mother said, find something to laugh at. No disrespect, but try to find some humor. When you find humor in a situation, it's like God is wrapping His arms around you and saying, you know what, if you can laugh, it's going to be okay. It's like the okay sign. I'm going to help you get through this. So that's why I think a sense of humor is so important. That's why I closed the book out with church, funny church humor stories. Because just like I speak now, my publisher said, we don't know where to put that. I said, oh, that's got to be in there. Because just like I like to leave audiences with levity, let's do some levity in the book. So people can close the book and have a good laugh and think, wow, this is good. I want to share it with the next person. That's what it's all about. That's where the rhinestone comes in. You find a way to make those issues sparkle and shine. And many women think the sparkle and shine comes from helping other people. That's where I get my shine. And I think you do too, from the way that you conduct this wonderful podcast interview. You want to see women shine and sparkle, and you want to go into the recesses of, hey, what is it that I can do to be better, to live better, and get that I out of better. Just don't even have, let me get the E in there. Don't be bitter, be better. Then that way you can raise good children. You know, you can have a child that says, oh, my gosh, sweet Caroline, she just walked by in the office. She said, oh, Mama, thank you and Daddy for being good, and I'm so blessed. And then the other child will go, yeah, y'all are good parents. Finally, yay, whoop, whoop, we heard a good comment from the youngins. It's a blessing. And you with five children, gracious. That's amazing.
We take it one step at a time as moms, don't we?
We do. We have to isolate it, deal with it, be consistent with it, learn from it. Children teach us more than we will ever teach them. They teach us when the stress comes, when they're having the hissy fit at Walmart because they want the toy, how to handle that. I love to sit around and watch other people now going, okay, how you going to handle that child sitting there kicking and carrying on? So what you going to do? There's this little muscle, James Dobson said, trapeze muscle. Just get a little pinch. Not to be cruel, but to say, okay, we have to talk about this. Let's go to the car. And when they are showing out at a restaurant, I always left, took the child with me to the car and said, that's not the way we act. And you're going to have a punishment for this. And I'd go upstairs when I'd sit and be crying, you know, I'd say, listen, I love you. God loves you. And I know this is hard. And even at prayer at night, I would admit, you know what, Lord, please help me with them kneeling at the bed. Lord, I did not do my job as a mother. Of course, my son with the big sense of humor would go, thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Like he was some TV evangelist when I would admit to my shortcomings as a mother. But with some good humor. But that's what we have to do. We have to know that children are going to be children, but we have got to craft the next generation, and we can only love them when we love us. And we can only love us when we see that pure love of agape love of Christ coming through us to shine to our children, to our friends, to our family as best we can.
Amen. I know y'all are taking notes, and you're going to have to get this book because there's so much more in here. Rhinestones on My Flip-Flop, Choosing Extravagant Joy in the Midst of Everyday Mess-Ups. When writing your book and going back through all your stories, and I didn't count how many stories there were, but there's a lot of stories. What is the greatest lesson God has taught you?
He has taught me that what we see is many times not really the reality, but there is something beyond that that is doing a work. It is the refining process, the sparkle process. It takes a lot of living and living well to find the sparkle and the shine when life flips, when the phone call comes, when something is going on that derails us. We have to realize that God has a purpose. And in the other book I wrote, I talk about saying, God, please don't let me go through this. I always felt like there was a calling on my life in my Pearls book. Don't, please, let this cup pass from me, as Jesus said. But God had a purpose. And now when it's in my past, I realize it was so I could help other women find those pearls of joy and laughter. When you learn, as back to the tomato speech, to find the shine when people are throwing tomatoes at you, keep shining and cull the bad stuff and embrace the plowing through or the plowing up. Find the sparkle and shine. Find that most valuable pearl. The Tahitian pearl, the dark pearl, is the most valuable. They used to throw them away. But one in every 10,000 is the dark pearl. It was not a freak of nature. It was a beautiful process. So let's be that dark pearl. Let's be rare, let's be valuable, and let's wear that and say, I'm valuable. I'm valuable because I've been through darkness, and I now am looking at this beautiful, perfect strand of pearls that I've cultivated. Look at the rhinestone on my flip-flops. I earned that rhinestone because I handled it right. I prayed, God gave me an answer. So this is why I think it's important. I have a passion to speak to women that my sister had a premature death. And I believe that, and this is why I'm so passionate about what I do, Christiane, no kidding. In every book, you will see a theme of don't let your emotions rule you. You rule your emotions. My sister died at 57 because she could not get her emotions under control. She was just a wreck. And it was so sad to see a wonderful, fun, balanced person all of a sudden turn into someone I just didn't recognize anymore. And just the whole attitude, the anger, the bitterness, the jealousy, so dumb with her beautiful gifts. But, and sometimes when I go to her grave and I put flowers on her grave, I think, gosh, this could have been so different had you been able to handle your emotions. So that's why I try to get women to realize that you can have deadly emotions too. Dr. Colbert wrote a book about this, deadly emotions. And especially for women, emotions can take you down. Like I said, they can lower that immune system. They can create illnesses that might be dormant inside of your bodies. And I think the more I see that, and I hate to be judgmental about this, but you think about this, the more issues you see people have, look at their stress level. Just look at that stress level. A lot of times it's a massive amount of stress. It's just depressing that immune system, pulling it down. So I want to always keep a merry heart because it is a medicine. So that's why I'm really passionate about speaking to women, especially, to handle those things that grip us and pull us down. And we can't see. And when we retaliate in kind, all we're doing is, and I wrote a story in my Pearls, in my Rhinestone book about this, about I was so devastated with my sister that something she did that was shocking to me. And she had a policeman, she accused me of breaking a mirror. And I was talking to her in a parking lot. She was so angry and she drove off. And I was so shocked that she would act like this. It was about my mother and her health. And my sister was very angry. And I remember just praying, said, God, please help me. How weird is this? And my daughter is watching a movie when I got a call from the detective who said I was under a criminal investigation and by this woman who was my sister. And I just listened to him just ream me out. And I just said, Lord, please help control my tongue. And I just listened and I said, well, there's a little bit more to the story, officer. And I told him and he said, well, I'm going to investigate, blah, blah, blah. And I was devastated. And I sat down and Caroline was watching Batman Returns. And there was an exchange between the Penguin and Catwoman. And Catwoman said to the Penguin, we're going to destroy Batman. We're going to turn him into something he hates. And the Penguin said, what? Who? She said, us. I thought, oh my gosh. If I respond in kind, I'm no better. So I'm going to have high principle thinking, not low functioning, reacting. And it turned out that I even called the detective, and I was emceeing the Miss South Carolina pageant on television. I was going to the pageant, and he was very sweet, and he said there was no damage, which I knew. And he said, you know, your sister filed a false police report. It was awful. And he said, you know, that's a federal, he said, you could really make, I said, I'm not going there. And I said, I'm just going to pray for her. Please pray for her too. And then all of a sudden, months later, I'm in court with a friend of mine who's getting an awful divorce. And I sit down by this guy and we start talking and it was that guy. God just, we just met. And he was a super nice guy, relived a little bit of it and was apologetic. And I said, you know what? You didn't know. And I even went to my sister and I, with my checkbook, and I said, show me the damage. And it was such a sad moment because she just dropped her head. See, she was letting all those emotions rule her. And this bitterness and anger. And boy, did Satan have a field day. I'm telling you, he really got inside of her head. So that's why, although I'm a humorist and I like to tell funny stories, there is a deeper purpose, and it's women handling their anger, bitterness, jealousy, toxic emotions can pull you down into a pit. It really can. And you won't see God's blessings. You'll miss it. And God can't communicate to you. You are so angry. And even my sister's doctor told me, your sister would not have known the difference between an angry heart and a sick heart. Because her heart, I think she had an enlarged heart. And that's what happened. So we just have to take life's, the lemonades of life and the lemons, and create something to help other people through their times. That's my goal in life. To help other people realize the power of prayer, and even when I speak to secular audiences, the power of positive thinking and the exuberant joy in the midst of those mess ups, whether it's pearls or rhinestones, we can have it. We just got to find it.
Amen. And I know there's women searching out there, and a lot of them are wearing those blinders on. In fact, they may be your sister, how she's living her life. And I think especially women, I mean, you talk about in your book, we're not going to go through the story, where you had a really difficult time with menopause, empty nesting, and the death of your mom. And
MED, the triple flip-flop.
Yes.
There's no question. Menopause, yeah. Empty nest, and dealing with an elderly parent or the death of a parent. A friend of mine told me that. She said, you need to write about the triple flip-flop. I went, that's right. Because they could all hit at once. It can all hit at once. And it happened with me. And I remember walking back in. Both of our children were at Clemson. And I remember I hit the floor. My knees buckled. My mother had just died 6 weeks ago. Empty nest and menopause. I mean, it was awful. And Thomas went outside and cut the yard at 10 o'clock at night. That was his way of dealing with it. I was just weeping with my knees on the floor, my hands just buried in my face, or my face buried in my hands, just weeping. Because all of a sudden, what now what? What? My job was done as a daughter and as a mom with them in my home. It was terrible. It was the darkest time of my life. It was really. And then the other dark thing that came was that then 5 months later, my sister died. And then I had so many family members blame me for it. And it was all about my dad's estate and my mother's well-being. And I did what Daddy told us to do. Take care of your mom. You know, this is the estate. This is how it's going to work. So I was very passionate about that and still am to this day. Is how we have to do the right thing regardless of how we feel. We can have those dark moments and those dark times. People can throw their darkness at us, but we have to find the light and live it and share it with other women. That's very important. You have to be that beacon.
How can that woman who is wearing the blinders right now and she's just drowning, what would be her first step to begin to reaching out to gain the sparkle back in her life?
Well, I first think that if it is to a point, like with me, and I am not ashamed of this, I went to a counselor, and I went to a good one. Seek out professional help. There are resources that you can read and listen to, but seek out professional help. And thank God I had a good husband that put up with all of this and continues to help me deal with some of the drama, the leftover drama that still exists, unfortunately. But seek out good friends, trusted friends. And I think if you combine that with trying to have a merry heart, read something funny, go see a funny movie, listen to music, go to a spa, get a pedicure. There's so many things we can do as women that psychologically can help lift us out of that. But then there are women that truly are out of balance and they might need some medication, sadly. And, you know, I'm not a big proponent of that, but there are chemical imbalances, and you don't need to be ashamed of that. There are people that have a diabetes that have to be medicated. There are people that, like my son, has to be medicated with his ADD. You know, this is the way his brain is wired. He has to get focused. There's no shame in that. Just find a way and seek out resources to help you live a more positive life. The resources are there. The first step is to pick up the phone, get your cell phone, call people and say, hey, I need some help. I need a good, and I started with talking to my minister, and I finally ended up with a gentleman who was a great counselor, and he helped me through my mother's grief and healthy grief cycles. I'll never forget that. Gave me books to read. It was incredible. I felt myself getting out of that, and I felt like the drowning water was just going down. And a lot of times we feel like we're underwater. And we have to seek out the right people to help guide us through it.
Amen. Well, you all are going to want to pick up your own copy because she did say find some humor and laugh. So you'll want your own copy of her brand new book, Rhinestones on My Flip-Flops, Choosing Extravagant Joy in the Midst of Everyday Mess-Ups. I know people are going to want to connect with you, Miss Jane. Where can they find you?
I'm on the web at janeherlong.com. And the book, Rhinestone book, is in most bookstores. And, of course, it's through Hachette Publishing, which was God's blessing, you know, to get a nice publisher like that. And Amazon, of course, and most places where books are sold. Independent bookstores as well, you can get a copy of the book. So I'm really proud of that one because it was a lot of work to get that book just right. And I had the big publisher challenging me, to really write it well, change some copy, and do a great job. So it truly is, to me, a great book for women with each stage of life. And so when it came together, I was just in awe of it. And it was the Lord's leading, that's for sure. I can tell you that.
Well, I definitely would recommend that people pick up two copies. One they can read themselves, and then one they can gift. What a way to kick off your fall. I'm all about football. I love good college ball. U.S. Open is happening right now. We get the finals to that. But, you know, this book can help change your life. And it will give you a different look that maybe you feel like you're more the diamond in the rough. And you don't even feel like a diamond. You just feel like a piece of dirt. You got a rhinestone and you're being refined. So I would really encourage you to pick up two copies, one for yourself and gift one.
Thank you. I would hope that women, and it's not about book sales for me, it's about really helping women live above their circumstances and make good choices.
Amen. Well, before I let you go, I have one last question. The series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
My story has taught me that whatever happens in life, you kind of have to do the hokey pokey. Seeing that bumper sticker on a car, what if the hokey pokey really is what it's all about? I believe it is. Because just like in the song, you put your right foot in, that means you do the right thing. And then you shake it off. You have to learn, and women have a hard time with this. We like to relive it on the wheel of misfortune. You know, shake it off, turn it around, look at it from a different perspective, learn from it, and move ahead. And what you've done is you have created another step up for yourself. So have hokey pokey moments.
I love those moments. We're going to be dancing with our rhinestones on our flip-flops.
That's good.
Well, you have been a blessing, Miss Jane. I cannot wait to have you back. I'm sure you have another book in the works.
It's in my brain. I'm typing away.
Many blessings.
Thank you so much, Christy, and I appreciate the opportunity to share, and you've been a sweetheart. Thank you.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.